started the Sunday school again this morning. Sunday school at 11 o'clock. A little bit different because we're in times of transition, but the children were meeting in the Discovery Club with Sister Pedrosa and Sister Geyer, and Brother Josh was teaching here in the auditorium for the teens and the adults. So that will continue until we can get back to our normal schedule, but it's a blessing to be able to get together for Sunday school. And I'll go ahead and mention, because Sunday evening will resume in person live June the 7th. So that's coming back soon. Two more weeks until we can get back to evening, Sunday evening. Of course, we've got it on Facebook now. You can watch Pastor, but it's just not the same as being here live. So we're glad you're here this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors? We've got some information to give you if that is the case, the first-time visitor. How good to have you back. More people are coming back here live, and that's a blessing. My brother Scott Venture is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, for your many blessings, your wonderful love, and we thank you to be able to get back to church for Sunday school for this first time, Lord, and for these past few weeks being able to get together, even though we're kind of distancing, Lord, but we know you're in control. You've always been. It's nothing's a surprise to you. And I just pray, Lord, that we will continue to be blessed, Lord, that with the services that we've been able to watch on Facebook Live and through YouTube Live, and I'll be here in person with those that still are a little afraid that can't be here, Lord, that they can still follow us on Facebook, Lord, and be able to get your word from the pastor, Lord. And we pray that you bless our missionaries out on the foreign field, Lord, to go and do the same thing, Lord. Just bless them, keep them safe. Lord, bless each and every one on our prayer list, Lord, to know the needs of each and every one. Be with the pastor this morning as he brings the message, Father, that you laid upon his heart. Lord, just hiding behind your promise. Lord, just prepare our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us, that we might be able to grow in a greater grace and knowledge of thee. And most of all, Father, if there's one person here today that's lost, today would be the day they come to know your Son, Jesus, as a personal Savior. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Take the songbook, turn to page number 125. Let's stand together as we sing, He Keeps Me Singing, 125. June the 7th, so be care for that. That will be another step in getting things back to normal. I have some information here about two of our seniors in the bulletin, Victor Resto and Abby Wellens. Hope you had a chance to read that. Also, a good missionary report here, an excerpt from a letter from the Owens family. Hope you had a chance to read that. They're facing some restrictions over there. We think things are bad here, but in many of the countries, it's even worse. So we thank the Lord for the freedom that we do have here to be able to worship together. And then, of course, Monday is Memorial Day. We take time to remember those who have given their lives in the service of our country. And so we're thankful for them. At this time, Briley Stockman is going to come and sing. Sing when you are scheduled because we're not having the evening service. And sunlight.
404.
Thank you.
seated. And before the message, Sister Barbara Jones will sing.
This morning I'd like to sing God on the Mountain. And when I was thinking about that God is God, no matter whether we're in the valley or whether we're on the mountaintop, I thought about the three statements that I heard a long time ago. And there's many times that I've been able to just bring these to my memory. They're almost like hearing a little mini sermon. And one of them is, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. And the will of God will never lead you contrary to the word of God. And obedience brings blessing, and disobedience brings punishment. They've been very convicting to me throughout my life. And, you know, we've been in a time where a lot of that's been going on has put people in a valley. But God is the same. He never changes. His word never changes. We can always hold to it and know that He has us in the palm of His hand. So I hope that's an encouragement to you and that this song will be an encouragement to you too.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. Down in that valley.
All you folks here today. If you're visiting with us for the first time here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, we're thankful that you've come to be a part of our worship service this Sunday morning. We were thrilled to add back our Sunday school hour. The kids had a group meet over in the Discovery Building. I think we had close to 50 in here. Brother Josh is teaching. He's starting a series on the names of God, and so if you were not here today, I would encourage you to be back next Sunday at 10 o'clock for our Sunday school hour. The more we know about God, the more help we will have during this difficult time we find ourselves in. And we have been blessed to have a God that's given us a word that is absolute, preserved for us to hunger and thirst thereby, and grow thereby, to know Him thereby. A lot of religions just have myths, fables, stories that's written, in books that don't even exist anymore. They just kind of keep making up the story. But our God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, we have a word that we can look into and to know who God is. And so we had a good crowd this morning for our first Sunday school hour back. We're glad to have that. The first Sunday in June, we're going to be adding our Sunday evening service back. Looking forward to all of you being ready and prepared for that. The first Tuesday in June, we will be adding back Bible time with Brother Ray. First Tuesday in June, 10 o'clock in the morning, over here in the Discovery Building. Meet with Brother Ray if you can make it. First Tuesday in June, 10 o'clock in the morning with Brother Ray. First Sunday in June, we will be adding back our bus routes to go and to pick up the kids. So if you have kids that need to ride, Brother Greg is ready. He's been asking me the last couple of Sundays. And so the first Sunday in June, he'll be running the bus routes for Sunday school. He'll leave the church here about 9:20, 9:30. Have the kids here for Sunday school and any adults that might need a ride as well. And we're looking forward to that. Those things are coming right up on the horizon. So slowly but surely, safely and securely, we are going to get back to representing Christ like Lock Haven has for all these years. And we're just going to do it as God gives us that direction and open it. We're going to do that. And we're thankful that we have been beaten now. This will be a solid month. Yes, Brother Connie.
Pastor, since we don't have Gwen and I said, I'm just sitting here bubbling with joy. You know, Psalm 37:4 said that David said, I've been young and I'm old, but I've never seen a child of God break the bread. And Jesus said that if you eat of this bread, you never hunger again. I've had the opportunity to spend more time in the Bible, reading devotions and studying God's Word. And the more I look into God's Word, the more I see this love that God has for us as humans, as Christians, more so. And I just thank God for the opportunity that He has blessed me with to be able to study His Word and to just see the love that He has that allowed me to grow as a Christian. As I realize that as a young man, I wasted a lot of my time foolishly, but God has blessed me in such a way now that I look at things from a different perspective, and I thank God truly for His goodness. That's my testimony I have for this day for life in general. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. God is good. Thank you, Brother Connie. You rescued me kind of out of the blue. I asked my wife to print some for me, and she printed it on a bulletin And we had visitors this morning. I handed them my bulletin, but it was not the bulletin, it was what I needed printed. And I thought I'd gone crazy. So, Brother Victor, could you get this couple another bulletin, please, and bring over to them? That'd be a blessing. I had to ask her to print out the Gettysburg Address, and they probably was thinking, what kind of bulletin is this? I opened it up, and I knew I had it because I said read it before. There, you know, the Gettysburg Address is considered to be one of the most profound speeches in American history. It came after a year's time, a year's battle. In 1863, there was the great battle in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where historians say that we lost on both sides, north and south, we lost close to 60,000, so above 55,000 people were lost in that one battle. It actually says the most lives lost, American lives lost in any battle on American soil, is what they say about it. Actually, President Lincoln was not the main speaker that day in 1864 when they were dedicating the Gettysburg Cemetery. It was a former senator, I believe it was, from Minnesota. He spoke for almost 2 hours. And, of course, being the president sitting there in the audience at the dedication, you thought he may have or should have been the main speaker, but he was not for whatever reason. Maybe he chose not to be. They asked him to speak, and he spoke for less than 10 minutes. For less than 10 minutes, he spoke a total, I think, of 10 sentences that they spoke. And I didn't realize that he only spoke for 10 minutes. I thought, you know, you hear people reference the Gettysburg Address, and you're thinking, well, you know, there's a portion, they only give you a little bit. Actually, that was it. Later on that year, the senator that spoke actually wrote back to President Lincoln and told him, said, what I said 2 hours, you took 2 minutes, 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes, and conveyed a truth far more than I could ever convey. Now, today is where we set aside as Memorial Day. You know, tomorrow is actually the day it is, but we are gathered today. And so I wanted to read the Gettysburg Address before we get into our sermon this morning. And then I have a small video that I want to show here in a moment. But the full text of the Gettysburg Address delivered by President Lincoln in November 19th, 1863, actually, says, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But, in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and died, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or to detract. The world will little know nor long remember what we say here. But if we can never forget what they did here, it is for us the living, whether to be dedicated here to be to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. And that was the Gettysburg Address. In essence, as I read that this morning, as we pause just for a minute to remember those that gave their all, that we might have this opportunity right now to have and enjoy the freedom of gathering, assembly in a peaceful manner, and worship our God as we choose by the conscience of our minds and hearts, we can do little than what they have already done by giving their all. But it is a great honor, as your pastor, as an American, as a former military man, to stop and to remember those that gave all in battle so we can enjoy our freedom. We have a great nation, and we've gone through some great troublesome times, but I don't find this day any more greater or troublesome time than in 1863 when they were going through this. And our nation came through this here problem, what we call the Civil War, greater and better than we could ever be because we look to God. And if we as a nation continue to look to God and remember what He has done for us, America will be great because of God, not instead of God. Let's take a moment. Let's look at a video that I have here. I hope that you will enjoy that. Thank you for your patience.
That the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me,
and thee at Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because, this is the reason, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he had said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake his these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, where the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest at that day how that the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Verse 14, and Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto the day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. As we look into this book of battles, and we look at a time where the nation of Israel is about to get started in some difficult times and wars that are ahead of them. In the middle of this, in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb comes to Joshua and he brings to him a memory, a time where Caleb and Joshua and 10 other men, if you was to go back and read in Numbers chapter 13, you'll see there's a listing there in Numbers 13 of 12 different men, one man from each tribe, and they had a job to do, and that was to go in to the nation, the Canaan land, into that nation, and to spy out the land. And as they were to travel, they went over past Hebron. They went all the way to the northern part. But there was something about this mountain that grabbed the heart of Caleb. And as they passed through, they came back. And as they came back, the Bible says that they were able to take a stave, a stick between two men. They were able to take some grapes off of a grapevine. And it took two men to carry such a cluster of grapes as they traveled back in. And now, Joshua and Caleb were 40 years old at that time when they went in to spy out the land. And when they came back to give a report, the other 10 said, listen, it is a great land. It is a wonderful place. It is a place of milk and honey. It is a place where the fruits of Israel are abundant. But they've got these giants. They've got these fierce, fenced, walled cities. And the Bible says here, as we read, they caused the heart of the people to melt. Now Caleb comes along 45 years later. Now he's 85 years old. And Caleb comes to Joshua, and he says to Joshua here in this here portion, Joshua was the servant of Moses. Moses died. God promoted Joshua to the leadership of the nation of Israel. Now they're about to divide the land. They're about to go take their inheritance. And after wandering about in the wilderness for 40 years, if you think disobedience doesn't get you out there for a long time, you know, I've said this a countless of times. Sin's going to take you further than you want to go. It's going to keep you a whole lot longer than you think you'll stay. It's going to cost a whole lot more. It cost the nation of Israel. Everybody
wandering around in that wilderness that was not of age, every one of them died. 40 years they wandered. Now you have Joshua, you have Caleb. Caleb standing there before Moses, before Joshua, and he says, listen, I want you to remember something. You and I were together. You know, this is not one of them fish tales where it was a 2-pound bass that by the time the two fishermen got through telling, it was a 9-pound bass. This was absolute. Why was that absolute? Because God had promised them a land. God had promised something to Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb is now, he's there, and he wanted to talk with Joshua. He wanted to remind him. He said, listen, we need to stop, and we need to remember God's promise to me. Isn't it amazing that after 85 years of life had passed, 45 years prior, he passed over Hebron. Now, 45 years later, he's saying, give me that mountain. You know, that tells me something, dear friend, that as we get older, we need to not let up. As we get older and we get down into the road and get down, listen, we're not supposed to retire to our laurels of life. We're to take that mountain that's been promised us years before. He said, look at Joshua, he said, listen, I'm as strong now as I went in when I was 40 years old. I'm as strong now as I was to go in the battle and out the battle. It's not time to quit on God. He said, well, my body physically can't do what it does. God can. God can do miraculous things through us, but too many of us are looking to get out on God instead of get in. And listen, he didn't say, give me that plane over there. He didn't say, hey, I know way back there 40-some years ago I wanted that mountain when I was strong, young, and vibrant. Listen, taking a mountain was going to take something. They weren't going to give them Hebron. They weren't going to say, well, just welcome on in. We'll just pack our goods and we'll get on out. He had to take a stronghold, a mountain. And listen, to take a mountain, dear friend, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of strength, not only to take it, but to keep it. How many times have you read battles in the military histories and looked back into the historical facts of battles, and they wanted that high ground? They had to get up the high ground and take that. And it was not easy to take the high ground. And not only was it not easy, it was not easy to keep it. But it was important. You could go back and you study the mountain of Hebron. I don't have time today because we got to get through this sermon. But a lot of things happened at Hebron. Matter of fact, Abraham met Melchizedek, the high priest, off the ridge of Hebron. All the patriarchs were buried in and around Hebron. Hebron was a place where a lot of stuff had taken place. I think in my mind that Caleb said, if God spent so much time back there in Hebron, I want to be where God's at. I want to be in a place where God has visited. And he said, listen, remember Joshua, remember God's promises. Look at verse 6. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest. What is he saying? Remember. What are we doing today on Memorial Day? We remember what those men and women and what they did and how they laid down their all and went through the battles and did not come out on the other side and gave their life, and we remember what they did for us as a person, as a people, as a nation, as a church, as Americans. And Joshua is standing there. Now all the children of Judah come up, and Caleb said, hold up. Hold up here just a minute. Let me get my piece out. Joshua, you know what was promised to me and to you. And he said, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee at Kadesh Barnea. And he wanted Joshua to remember those promises. He wanted Joshua not to get too busy telling this tribe to go there and this tribe to go there and forget there were some promises made. And so let me tell you something different. We have to be careful that we don't get so busy in the days of life and the activities of life and the future that we have before us that we forget the promises of God that God has made. And the promises of God are yea and amen. He said, hey, let's stop it. I know we're about to get busy. We're about to get into battle. We're about to go to a place where I told them 45 years ago we could take. I know. Listen, not only had 45 years passed for them, but that's 45 years the nations that was in the land had time to strengthen up. They had time to fortify. They had time to build thicker walls and bigger cities and things of that nature. And so not only did they have time to get rid, they were settled. The nation of Israel was the one wandering around. They were the one traveling here and there, wandering around in the wilderness for the last 40 years. Caleb said, listen, over there, I went beyond Hebron. I went all the way up to the northern border, but I want Hebron. I want that mountain that was promised to me. And Caleb had a great God. And he wasn't concerned about the little giants that all the rest of the 10 spies saw. Our problem is different. We're allowing peer pressure, even from our own family, even from our own church people, even from those that say they love God. We're allowing that peer pressure to cause us to see the giants of the land and not the great God of the land. Hey, wait a minute here, just a minute, Joshua. Let's remember a minute. There was a promise that was made to me way back there. We need to take a hold of those promises. We need to be found faithful in the promises of God. We need to live in the promises. We need to stand in the promises of God because the Word of God and what God said to us is our strength and it's our vision. It's our ability to serve Him with an open and clean and a purposeful heart. The majority, dear friend, would have us controlled by their speech and their conscience. We don't need to be controlled. We should be controlled and led by the Spirit of God. And we gotta remember the promises. Caleb says, now, listen, the promises that was given then, they stand today. That's the case then, the promises now. When Abraham Lincoln said in his speech, in the latter part, he says that from these honored dead we take incense devotion to that cause which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish, for the earth. As President Lincoln stood before them and gave that address, dear friend, let us not forget that that's been many, many years gone past, but this is still a great nation under God. Let's not forget where we came and who has blessed us. We're not blessed because we are America. We're blessed because we love God and we serve God. We've honored God as a nation. And God's blessing has flowed over us because of God, not because of who we are. And He's used us in a mighty way. And we have to be careful that we remember the promises of God and we put God first. God has to come first in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our cities, in our nation. Because all nations that forget God, the Bible says, shall be turned into hell. Okay, so listen, Joshua, I know we're about to get busy. Hey, we're busy. We're busy hiding, from a virus and trying to stay away from getting sick and trying to be safe and secure. But dear friend, I'm telling you, we got to get busy. There's some promises that's in me, in the Word of God. And the Word of God says that I will go with thee to the ends of the earth. Always will I be with you. I shall never leave you for forsake you. Never. Never will I leave thee or forsake you. That's why we have to be focused on God during difficult times. Because if we're not focused on God during difficult times, the time will overwhelm us. Caleb said, Joshua, wait a minute. There were some promises made. Church, let me tell you. There were some promises made in the Word of God that we should follow and stand upon and serve God with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our strength, and put God first before all situations. And says, we've got to remember the promises. We've got to remember the men and women that died for this nation, for the freedom that we enjoy, because of what they did for us and how they served and how they were devoted to the very end and to the utmost of devotion. They were devoted to our nation. Verses 8 and 9. Not only did Caleb say we need to remember God's promises in 6 and 7, but he said, listen, we need to remember our own commitment. Verses 8 and 9 in Joshua chapter number 14. This is what he says. Nevertheless, my brethren that went out with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Why? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb said, listen, Joshua, not only did God promise, but I made a commitment to myself and to God, and I will follow Him. And from that day to this day, I have followed the Lord. How's your commitment today? How is your commitment right now? Caleb said, I have wholly followed the Lord. He reminded him of the time of a full surrender in his justice. Can you imagine with me? Here goes the 12 spies. Two by two, they traveled along. 10 of them went in, and 10 came out with a negative report. Joshua and Caleb go in, all of them together. It kind of makes me think that Josh and Caleb maybe walk a little side by side. You know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. It kind of tells me that there was Josh and Caleb and those two, because you know we always pair up. You always get together with somebody that you have something in common with. And I'm going to tell you something, we better be careful who we're yoking up with. We better be careful who we're walking with. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? It kind of just takes me to the point to think that Joshua and Caleb must have spent a whole lot of time walking up and down Hebron, Canaan, all together. And now you can say, hey Joshua, you remember before we got over there? I don't know if this took place. This is just a little bit of thinking here. You remember we stopped, we paused, we said, Lord, if it be thy will, give us the vision to see how good this land is. And as they traveled through together and they came out, they had made a full surrender to God before going in, and they come out on the other side, and they were still committed. This is amazing to me. These two men stayed committed up to this point. It's 45 years later, and they had to wander in the desert because of 10 others' report. They stayed committed when it wasn't their fault they were wandering in the wilderness. They stayed committed to God when the nation of Israel was falling off dying like flies. They stayed committed. Why? Because there was a point in time in their life they said, I will serve God. You know what Joshua said at the end of Joshua? At the last book, chapter 24, what Joshua said? I don't care what you do. I don't care what they do. Whether they're going to serve the gods of the before the flood as their fathers did, or they're going to serve God for me and my house, we're going to be fully surrendered, fully committed, and we're going to serve God. Lord, to God, right now, we'd have some young men and women that would rise up and say, I'll be committed to one nation under God. Why do we have Memorial Day? So we can remember those that gave their lives so we can have freedom today. I'm not going to make this political. I haven't got in on this here COVID-19 thing. I believe God. I've not posted things that are negative or sarcastic, because you know I can be sarcastic. It's amazing how you can enter into Publix and not be getting COVID, but can't go to church and get COVID. I'm going to stop there, because you know I can be sarcastic. But we, if we're not careful, we're raising generations that know not of one God under nation. And if we don't get a hold of this here thing that God is God, when the next third war happens, we will not have one nation under God. If we don't help our children to come closer to God, dear friend, they will grow up and not know a God. Preacher, that's not happening. 17% of Americans say they're churchgoers now. 17%. It's the last. You think this is an attack of the devil? To bring a virus into a nation that a nation would say, let's shut down churches? Because if he can get you not come to church for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, when it is open back up, our flesh has figured out, I did pretty good. I really don't need church. Everything is going to be all right. After all, I can watch church on Facebook 6 times a day. I can see church on YouTube 6 times a day. And we convince ourselves that we do not need to assemble together for the work of the ministry of God. We better be careful. Let me tell you something, seniors. He was 85 years old. He said, I'm just as strong in the Lord as I was on that day when I went into spy as I am now. You better keep your strength. There's a nation of kids coming up behind us that are watching us. They're looking at us. This isn't their fault. This isn't these kids' fault. Fault has to lay at the blame of those that's walking before them. They're only doing what they have seen us do. We better be careful, church. He said, listen, Joshua, I remember the promise of God that he gave to Moses concerning me and you. He said, listen, I remember the day that you and I had a fully committed and surrendered time that we gave ourselves over to the Lord. Verse 10 and 11. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, listen, Joshua, not only did God give us promise, not only did you and I make that commitment, but God is well able and faithful to keep and to do what he has said. Who kept him alive? What did the Bible say there? Did I not read it? Somebody read it. Who kept who alive? Let's see again. Verse 11, yes, that I am as strong this day as I was in that day. Moses sent me as my strength was then. Then so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to go in. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake. Where did I read? What did I say? Verse 10, 11? Yeah, 10, 11. Back up to verse 10. I'm sorry, I got ahead of me. And now behold, the Lord hath what? Kept me alive. All those people dying. All that traveling around in the wilderness. It wasn't because of him being something special. It was because he fully gave his heart to the Lord. He served the Lord. He sought the face of God. He kept his faith in God. Going through the difficult times he was going through, when it was all said and done, it was not because of him. It was because the Lord kept him alive. He said, Joshua, you better remember, God is faithful. God is faithful. Have you thanked God for keeping you alive here lately? Honestly. This is a time that we have been thinking about death a lot. Am I wrong? Every time I turn the television on, this many died. Every time I look at the news, this many died. Have you just paused for a minute and just said, Lord, thank you today that I'm alive? It's disappointing that a man wants to die and after this, the judgment. I'm not telling you to run out here and go up there and just grab you some virus and swallow it down. I'm not even asking you to wait around until a vaccine to get shot with it. I'm not asking you to do that. All I'm asking you, are you thankful today that God has kept you alive? Do you realize there's been a whole lot more people die of COVID, more than just COVID virus the last 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, however long, I don't even know. I feel like I've been putting lines on the prison bar, you know? I have to go back and count my calendar. I don't know how long we've had this, but it's been a little while now. But more people have died beyond and besides the COVID virus. Have you just stopped for a moment and said, thank you? Who's kept you alive? Has it been the mask? Has it been the governor, the mayor? Has it been our Congress? Because I'm not making fun of them at all. Every last one of them has never walked this path. Not a one of them. There wasn't one that woke up on that day whenever we found out it was as bad as they said it was, and they were experts. They're learning as they go. Why do you know that? Because the goalpost keeps moving. They're learning as they go. But I can tell you one thing. When this hit America, or hit left China, wherever it came from, come across Germany, Italy, got over here, got into Seattle, wherever it came from, I can guarantee you this one thing. God was still God. Then, and He is now. He said, listen, Joshua, all these years, God has kept me alive. God cared for me. He's watched over me. I'm up to this point, and this is what He said. Now this is what I want, Joshua. Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. Now, I can't promise you with no certainty whatsoever that there will not be any sicknesses that come down the road 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 years worse than what we felt today, this virus that we're running around with now. I can't promise you that because, to be honest with you, sicknesses is a consequence of sin. But I can promise you this one thing. Just like Caleb, when he looked at Joshua 45 years ago, Joshua, I can promise you this one thing. If I'm standing here 40 years from now, the God of heaven is the God on the mountaintop. Just like Sister Barbara's son. He's the God of the valley. And He's going to be God today, tomorrow, and 40 years down the road. That's the only promises that I can give you. They're going to be absolute. The only one. I can tell you, next Sunday, we're going to, June 7th or whatever it is, the first Sunday of June, we're going to add our Sunday morning, our Sunday evening. So I can promise you that. And then Sunday morning before that, I said, look, church, it's just not going to happen tonight. I'm sorry. I can change. But my God changes not. And the God that got Caleb and Joshua through this time, the God that got our nation through the Civil War, the God that got our nation through the First World War, Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam, got us through Desert Storm and got us through all of this, and got us through the virus and pandemic of 1918, and the virus that hit us during the 60s and the epidemic then, that got us, the same God that got us through there is going to get us up in the morning. That's what I can promise you. Now what are we going to do? Lord, give me that mountain. We have got a mountain before us, church. What mountain, Pastor? Orange County and Osceola County is full of people that don't believe in God. Listen, I'm not talking about just our mission program. Listen, around the world there's people that don't believe in God. But I'm talking about here in Orange and Osceola County, Lake Nona, Morningside, down the road at, not Flintlock, what's that down there? Fields Landing? Who lives down that way? Fields Cove? All these little things, Taft and Pine Gap, all these little areas. Listen, there's people right here that need the Lord. That need God, need to know that our God is true. Yes, but people are sick. Even Christians, even pastors are dying. Yes, I understand that. They were dying in this day. But the God of heaven got them through it. He's going to get us through it. And we're going to march on for God. As Lincoln stood there at Gettysburg, and we stand here today, are we going to accept the challenge? The challenge that's before us. What's that challenge? To live for God. To live for God. To allow the things of God to be more important to us than the secular things of this world. I mean, we got to allow God to be first and foremost in our life, in our family's life, in our nation's life. Because if we do not, dear friend, we're destined for failure. We're destined for failure. The only thing I have to offer you today besides the 2 cents that I put in and the failure of putting the video up is something greater than all. My God is able. Look to it. Run to it. Walk with him. Serve him. Honor him. Give him your all. And on the other side, when we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it'll be worth it all. Worth it all. What's it say in Amazing Grace? Grace has gotten me thus. What's that phrase? Grace has gotten me safe thus far. You know what's going to get us saved? Grace. Grace. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Next Memorial Day, I'll show y'all this video. But right now, I want to tell you, I appreciate you coming out. I beg you to be safe. I beg you to be careful. Wash your hands. Cover your sleeves. Stay your distance. But if we allow our distance to come between us and our God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. What page, Brother Jesus? 264, church. The altars are open.
Crimes that I had done, he groaned. Wednesday night, we'll have still live on Facebook. We're not meeting in the church yet. Next Sunday, we'll have Brother Martin and his family with us, missionaries to Argentina. They'll be with us Sunday morning and spending time with us, giving us an update on their mission work. And Brother Josh will be teaching Sunday school in here at 10 o'clock. Sister Dyer, Sister Jenny are over in the Discovery Building with the Kids Club. So look forward to having all of you back for our Sunday school time. That's what's coming up. Wednesday night live on Facebook still. And I think Brother Bill and Brother Dyer got this thing about halfway worked out on the live thing here. It's all new to us. We've never had to do it before until this time. And I think there was probably still about 18 families still watching or somewhere on both there, some back and forth between the three different places. So God is good. Some of them are not ready. That's fine. They'll come back when God lets them and gives them encouragement to come back. But you that are ready, thank you for being here. And if you're feeling sick, got a cold, got a fever, just stay home. Watch online. It's provided. Come back the next week. It's that simple. You be smart. Lean on God. And God's going to get us through this. You're sick, don't go pay a bill. You've got a fever, don't run to the grocery store. Call somebody here at the church and go for you. You know, we can be safe, we can be secure, but we can still meet and love and worship and have time together like this. So thank you for being with us. Looking forward to the next time we meet together. And we're asking God to bless. Be safe. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Remember, as you're eating that hamburger, and you're floating around in the ocean tomorrow, whatever you're going to do, we have that privilege because others gave their all. They gave their all. Father, we love you. We thank you that you've allowed us this opportunity to meet today. Thank you for bringing visitors our way. We appreciate, Lord, the opportunity to have this through the internet. We ask you, God, to continue to bless as Brother Bill labors to get it cleared up, working right, and streaming out properly. We need your help in that, Lord. We're not experts in it. Lord, you are. You know all things. Yes, even internet. God, we ask you to help us with that. We need you. Bless us as we go our way. Thank you for those men and women who gave their all, that we as a nation could have church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.